Good morning. That's the man back there, man. We've been praying for you. Man. I want to give God glory to see you here today. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you, Father. We thank you that you are one who answers prayer. And so, Father, we give you praise and glory and thank you, Father, that he's here today. And that, Father, you have heard our prayers. You have heard us, and we believe that you are the author of all good things. In Jesus' name, amen, amen. My heart got happy. It's good to be back in the house of the Lord with his people. And there were some things that I believe what I'm going to do is I believe God gave me a revelation while I was gone. And it comes from just a greeting when we say to one another, I say, hey, how are you doing? And the answer usually comes back, I'm blessed and highly favored. Blessed and highly favored. And I thought about that sentence. Are you really? Are you really blessed? And are you really highly favored? Or is it just a rhetoric? Is it just something that we say? And so I got into what blessing means. But more than that, what God showed me was that there's more to this blessing that God has initiated by his death on the cross. He came to pour out himself, and the good Father that he is, God wants to bless us, to continuously bless us. He wants us to walk in this way of life in whatever God has intended for you, but we are to walk in his blessing. It's a natural thing. It's excuse me. It's something that God says, I will continue to pour on you. It's like gravity. You can't get away from it. It's like when you go and you throw yourself on the ground, you're going to hit ground because gravity is at work. It's the same thing with blessing of God. God wants to bless you. God wants to give you his endorsement, his who he is all of your life. All of your life. Then Arthur, how come we suffer at times? Well, I believe because during the suffering, we tend to misdiagnose or forget the true definition of what the blessing is. Someone dies prematurely. We go, oh, we're sad. These people passed away, but we're sad for ourselves. And God's going, are you seeing this from my eyes? From who I am, he sees exactly what he's going to do, because who are the blessed people of God? He works all things to our good for those who love the Lord. So he's looking, seeking all of the things that he wants to pour upon us for these places that we walk. I have an illustration. I'm going to do it this way. Who you on the phone with? Come here. Okay. $20 bill. Do you want it? You don't? So who wants it? And I'm serious. Who wants it? Give me. Yeah. No, it's yours anyway. Come on, somebody raise your hand. Someone take some initiative. Okay, you want it? Okay. I'm surprised someone didn't raise their hand. But anyway, me and human nature. Okay, now, God wants to place this, put your hand up, place this into your hand. It's yours. God's going, I want to give it to her. I want it. Okay? Now, what happens is, Jimmy, come here. While I'm placing it on her hands, you take it. It's yours. It was, God intended it for you. But Satan over here comes and steals it. Oh, yeah. But he wants to give it to you. Okay? Do you get it? Do you understand? Why do not we... You can go sit down. No, you can keep it. Why do we allow? Because it is an allowance. It is what we position ourselves to receive the blessings of God. Now, what position is that? Well, number one, forgiven. We are one who has received the salvation of the Lord. And with that come very many benefits. And having our needs met is one of those. It's just one of those. But he is going, I want to give it to them. So I wrote down some definitions. Blessing. It is to hallow or consecrate by religious rite or word asked the priest to bless their marriage. When the priest comes and blesses. And I do this myself. When I'm praying for people, I ask for God to bless. I believe it's within our power to bless. Be a blessing to other people. Now, we don't have to say those exact words. I do, but you don't have to say those exact words to be a blessing. You can walk away from the situation and they say, man, Jeanette really blessed me today. And she doesn't have to say anything or do anything. She can do it just by her presence in the body of Christ. Or when we visit or whatever. She was such a blessing to me. What does that mean? It means I had a feeling of jubilation. I had a feeling that, man, God is in her and working in her. And it blessed my soul to have this conversation with her. We should be a blessing. To invoke divine care for, like, bless your heart. Now, in the South, that's become not such a good thing. Oh, bless their heart. They don't know better. But he says, we invoke divine care to bless you with good health. Hey, talking about blessing. Come in.
I am.
Okay. To confer prosperity or happiness upon us. God has blessed us with whatever you want to define that with. God has blessed us. Protection, to preserve, to endow, like someone received a great inheritance. They were endowed with a great inheritance. They were blessed with a great inheritance. To have blessed and highly favored, what does favor mean? It means to treat with favor. We treated Barbie with favor when she walked in the door. Why? Because we greeted her. She's just not somebody who just came off the street and we're looking at her suspiciously. It's exactly right. And there's where favor comes from. Because God loves us, He pours His favor upon us. And what does that mean? He grew up in the favor of God and man. Jesus did. And so, what did that mean? It means that when they saw Jesus, they were naturally attracted to Jesus. He had the favor of man in His life. Now, there were definitely the enemy came against Him, but there were hordes of people that were saying, "Who is this Jesus? He healed me, and I saw Him heal them." And He was attractive. Jesus is attractive. And we must understand and pray for that. I pray for the favor of God to be on my life. You should pray for the favor of God to be on your life. You should pray for the favor of God to be on your children's life. You should pray for the favor and the blessings of God. Why? Because it's essential in a life where Satan rules. Satan rules in this earth. And if we need something opposite of that, is to have the favor of God. And we who are saved are the people that walk, that walk, that walk in the blessing and the favor of God. Understand that. That it should be normal. It should be a normal way of life. That we receive favor and blessing from God. If we are not, then that is the exact opposite of why Christ died on the cross. You're going, "Well, in this world, I'm going to have trouble." The Word says that. You're going to have trouble. Why? But He says, "Take heart. I have overcome the world." But in the overcoming of the world, He's making you an overcomer. He's making you the ability to say, "I am not going to be persuaded by what circumstances I have been put in. I am going to walk in the blessing and the favor of God." I'm going to do that. You're going to do that. We're going to do that together. We're going to be blessings to one another. That's what He wants His people to do. We prefer, we sustain, we facilitate the good things of God. Now, talk about the curse is the very thing that stops blessings of God to flow to us. There's a curse. I told you just a while ago, Satan is the Lord of this earth. And so things fail, things fall apart, but the curse is, in Jesus' time, and what He came to fulfill the law, it is the law was the curse in which was not fulfilling the objective of God in His crucifixion. So it was the law was the curse. Why? Because it didn't have any freedom. I didn't have a freedom to follow God as a relationship. I followed God through rules and regulations. And He says, "Come on, let's get out of that. Let's have a relationship with Jesus Christ." And so in that is that relationship. The curse to afflict upon us or a land. I'll be real honest with you. I believe that abortion will eventually put a curse on this land, on the United States of America. Why? Because we tend to pass laws that say it's okay to kill babies, and it's not. And God will take up their honor. He will take it up that we should not kill children. And so therefore, that's my belief. I can't give you scripture, but God won't stand for it. He won't stand that we injure and hurt our children. So I believe there will be a curse on the land. What happens in curses? Understand that when you walked into this place, when you walked into and said, I want Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior, you entered a kingdom. And in that kingdom, you were able to have all the benefits of that kingdom. And the benefit of God telling you, this is where you should go, this is what you should do, and this is how I'm going to bless you, and this is what God's going to do. Now, who doesn't have that? Come in. We had the doors wide open. It's good to see you. We prayed for your son. You know, we just did glory hallelujah that he was here. And now I say the same thing. Thank you for coming. Now, God wants to bless his people, and Satan wants to stop it. He wants to stop you from being blessed. Well, why is that? Why is he so mean? Because he hates God. He could care less about you, but he hates God. And he wants to curse anything that God has blessed. There's a story in the Old Testament. And Israel was fighting against this other army that were not part of Israel. And so they get witches and to pray and to say, let's... Israel was a force because God was on their side. You know, they were killing tens and thousands of people for the sake of God, for his people. And now they heard that Israel was coming. And they said, oh no, we've heard what this army has done. They're coming toward us. And so these people said, talking to the witches, you put a curse on their army so they don't kill us and we win. So they were invoking the powers of Satan. They probably didn't know it that well, but that's what they were doing. And then the witch turns to him and says this, and I want you to get this. I want you to get this so badly. The witch says, I cannot curse what God has blessed. I cannot curse, keep from them what God wants to pour upon them. And then we're going to go and look at how the blessings do get blocked. But understand that if you're following in the ways of God, Satan is not going to mess with you. Now, the problem becomes the definition of curses and what we think seems to be a bad thing, which may be the very thing that propels you into following God even more. So, Isaiah, you were at a hospital for a long time, weren't you? Yeah. And it wasn't fun. Wasn't fun at all. Now, normal people, when I say normal people, I say people of the world, would get down on themselves. Golly, what? This is just so hard, and this is terrible. But if we look through the eyes of Jesus and we see that people came up and helped, that people relationships were stronger now, that the things that God had intended were now good. Now, I'm sorry you had to go through all that, but I do know God won the victory. Where do I see? In healing and in health. People say, oh, I want to see miracles. Let me tell you what. Anytime you see a miracle, something bad happened before that. Not that God can't help you through that. But understand, when you're walking in the ways of God, you're going to have to invoke the blessing and get rid of the curse. How do we do that? Through how we speak. Oh, poor, pitiful me. I don't like this. I don't want to do this anymore. That's fainting. This is rebelling. God, I can't believe you made me go through that. Fainting. And then there's enduring. God, whatever you want me to learn from this situation, God, teach me that I may go farther into your kingdom and into who you are, that I may become in the likeness of Christ through the suffering. Jesus, we're talking about Jesus, said that he learned obedience through the things that he suffered. Well, how am I better than Jesus? I'm not. Well, how will I learn obedience? Through learning how to be an overcomer. Of how to learn how to get into the Word of God and believe the promises that He has for me. In this place of my heart, I need to connect with the one who's going to give me blessings. And understand that I may have to go to war to receive that blessing instead of letting Satan win. Don't let Satan have an inch of your life. Ever. Ever. Be a warrior against the things that Satan wants to do to you. And know that God can make it a victory in your life. Psalms 103. Starting with verse 1. A psalm of David. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Don't forget what God has done for you. Recount them back to them. Who forgives all my iniquities, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from destruction. What does redemption mean? Redemption means you've already paid a price for the destruction that has happened in your life. And to redeem it is to go take it back. We're going to suffer. We're going to have places where Satan has gained ground in my life. But if Satan gained this much ground, then I'm going to take 7 steps back from him. The Word says, this is the Word. The Word says that if a thief comes and you catch him, he must repay you 7 times what he stole. So you need to be a burr in Satan's side. You can try to steal from me, but I'm telling you, I've caught you, and you got to pay me back 7 times what you stole. I'm telling you, God will not be mocked. God, if we invoke his promises, he's going to say, my word is true, and my word is right, and I will perform my word in your life. You want God to perform? Then know his word and his promises, and tell him back, God, this is what you said. This is how you said it, and this is what you want to do. for our benefit, for my benefit, for my family's benefit, for the benefit of this church. And I'm going to be very bold here. I believe Satan has stole people from this church. I'll be real honest with you. I believe he has. And our fight is not against flesh and blood, ever. But Satan took opportunity to be deceptive, to lie, to kill, steal, and destroy. And I'm telling you right now, I'm claiming 7 times more. I'm claiming 7 times more of the people that have left, so that what? So this place would be filled? No, 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 no. I have preached to empty pews before. That is not the issue at all. The issue is God needs his people to worship and praise him. You have become the blessing for God. Do you understand that? Do you understand that God wants to be blessed and he is using you to bless him through worship? Through changing your life, to becoming stronger, so that you may have strength, what? To do his will out in the world. You become stronger. Why? God says, pray for the harvest, man. Pray for the fields are white unto harvest. Pray for the workers to go get them. I pray for that. I pray that people would leave this place and go out and say, do you want to go somewhere where God is worshiped and praised and given thanks? Do you have a need? Then let me pray for you. You don't have to go to that building. You pray and bring the power of God that is needed in their life. We are the people of God doing the will of God. Let us not be mistaken. It's all about him. Every bit of it. It's all about him. Now, the Lord executes righteousness and judgment for all that are oppressed. He made known his ways unto Moses, his acts unto the children of Israel. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and plenteous in mercy. That's our God. That is our God who wants to pour upon you his goodness. In Malachi chapter 3, this is an interesting thing, because what he's talking about here is giving money, tithing. But what we're going to see is not the tithing part, but the nature of God in this. How did God look at this? What did he say he would do? Malachi chapter 3, starting with verse 8. Will a man rob God? Yet you have robbed me. But you say, wherein have we robbed thee? In tithes and offerings. You are cursed with a curse, for you have robbed me and even this whole nation. Listen to this. What is he saying here? You are cursed with a curse. You have blocked your own self from receiving the blessings of God. Because God was robbed. And he says, not only are you being robbed, you robbed God, but even the whole nation is now within that curse. He's going, you're doing it when you're robbing God. Bring all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in my house, and prove me now herewith, says the Lord of hosts, if I will not open the windows of heaven and pour out pour you out a blessing that there shall not even be room enough to receive it. He's going, do you want a sign? Do you want a sign that says, my ways work? Here's your sign. Tithe and offerings. And see if I don't bless you so much that you can't even contain it. You can't. Listen to his own words. He's going, I will pour back into you more than you can keep. Well, I ought to check my bank account and say, how much money can I put in here at a time? I'd like to reach that number. I would like for you to reach that number. I would like for you to reach the number that God has planned for you. He has prospered us beyond my imagination, because I know how it works. And I pray, you know, a lot of people shy away from talking about tithes and offerings. And they're going, you know those TV evangelists, you know those people out there, they just asking for money. That's all they want. They just want money. And then they misrepresent God in their lifestyle and in what they're doing. But let me tell you this. God will do what he says he will do. So he says, let me prove it to you. Let me prove what I say I'm going to do. Do you need money? Yeah, you can be honest. I need more money. You're about to go on a trip. I'd like to take more money with me, but I got enough. What he's saying is, give. That doesn't make sense. How can I get if I'm giving it away? Because he's saying, you give it to me, I'll give it right back to you more than what you gave. More than what you gave. He says, let me prove it to you. Ooh. And I will rebuke the devourer for your sakes, and he shall not destroy the fruits of the ground. Neither shall your vine cast her fruit before the time in the field, says the Lord of hosts. He goes, I'm going to take care of the enemy. I'm going to take care of the devourer. I'm going to take care of that one that wants to kill, steal, and destroy the things that I want to place into your hand. And all nations shall call you blessed. Do you feel that? Do you feel like when other people look at you, they go, man, you are blessed of God. Understand. Do you feel that? I'm talking you to literally think. You don't need to raise your hand. You don't need to speak out loud. I just want you to really see. When people look at you, do they look at you and say, that is a blessed person? Not, oh, bless their heart. Do you walk in the blessings of God so much that you are a testimony unto the goodness of God? Are you? Are you? Well, how can I be? Well, he tells you right here. I like the last line of this. And all nations shall call you blessed, for you shall be a delightsome land, says the Lord of hosts. You'll be a delightsome land. Remember me telling you, be a blessing to somebody? Be a delight to somebody? Come in and share your heart, and they go, man, every time I'm around that person, they're like rivers of water coming out of him, and I am refreshed to have a conversation with him. Refreshed. Why? Because it is the power of God to do so in you. Psalm 121, starting with verse 1. It's the song of the degrees. I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills, for whence comes my help. My help comes from the Lord, which made heaven and earth, and he will not suffer thy foot to be moved, and he that keeps you will not slumber. He's not going to fall asleep on you. He's not going to be relaxing and go, I really don't want to get up and take care of that. He will not slumber. Because what is he doing? That he keeps you. My help comes from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. He will not suffer thy foot to be moved. He says you're going to be solid. You're going to be stable. You're not going to be like a deer in headlights going, oh my gosh. You're going to be secure. Behold, he that keeps Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is thy keeper. The Lord is thy shade upon your right hand. The sun shall not smite you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord shall preserve you from all evil, and he shall preserve your soul. The Lord shall preserve your going out and your coming in from this time forth and even forevermore. We heard this blogger, and it was Tyler Perry. And Tyler Perry built a studio, a 300-acre pavilion or place where they do sound and they do movies and stuff. And he says, when I bought this place, it used to be a Civil War. It's around Atlanta. It used to be a Civil War bunk where the Confederate Army was housed and instituted or did slavery in that part. And he goes, and now I own it, which was a big deal for him. But he says, when he was building this place, he said, what he did was, in the gate, he says, there's limited spaces where you can come into the place. And in the gate, underneath, he buried Bibles all the way across. So that when you entered the place, God will bless you on your going in and bless you going out. He says, in the sound studios, we put Bibles underneath the studios. And he says that people would come in to record and they'd be going, this is different. He goes, yeah, it's different. He says, why don't you come over here and stand right here? See, now, are we those things? You see, are we the Bible? Are we the Word made flesh unto someone else to bless, to encourage, to love, to be there? And the Lord shall preserve your going out and coming in from this time forth. And even forevermore. God has our back. God has us. Our reaction to the goodness of the Lord. Psalm 27:11-14. Teach me thy way, O Lord, and lead me in a plain path because of my enemies. Deliver me not over unto the will of mine enemies, for false witnesses are risen up against me, and such as breathe out cruelty. I had fainted unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. He's going, I can't take this. Oh God, what am I going to do? And faint and feel sorry for themselves and just stand there and just take on what Satan's going to throw at you. Rise up out of your sleep or your slumber or your thinking, I can't win. Yes, you can. You fight from a place of victory, not from a place of defeat. You fight from a place where you have already won the war. He's just saying, you go through the motions. I'll be your back. I'll be the one who takes on the sword. I'll be the one who gives you your shield. I'll be the one who gives you your helmet. I will do it. He will do it. He said He would. He wants to do that. Never, never, never come from a place of defeat. Because you're not. If you have accepted Jesus, you are not in a place of defeat. He has already won the victory in His resurrection. And He has given you a place of position, and a position to be an overcomer and to be victorious in every fight you take on. As long as it is in His will, I'll say it here in a minute. God wants you to win. Why? Because a win for you is a win for Him. Let me interject here. Are there Christians who die? Yes, I know that. You know that. Everybody knows that. And why did they not have the victory? How do you know they didn't? If we judge things by the flesh, we should judge things by the true victory of that person. It is a no-lose situation when someone goes home to be with God. It is a no-lose situation. If they're healed while they're here on earth to walk, or if they are healed when they go to walk with God in heaven, it's no-lose. It's a win-win. God says He'll give us peace of mind. John 14, 26 and 27. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in My name, He shall teach you all things. He shall teach you and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you. Peace, peace I leave you. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world gives, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Do you know what it's saying here? Neither let it be afraid. It means you have a choice in what is going on in your life to either confront it with fear and trembling or to confront it with the strength and the courage of God. That's what God wants to do. Neither let it be afraid. Let your heart not be troubled, and don't let it be afraid. A lot of people think, well, I'm going in the way of God, and something happens, and I get scared, then I have been defeated. No! 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 You haven't been defeated. You have been given an opportunity to win. Are you going to take it? Oh man, I'm so scared. What am I going to do? Oh my gosh. Your praying turns into grumbling and complaining. But if you get in the ditch, get in the bunker, get in the foxhole and say, we're going to defeat this thing. Me and Jesus, me and Jesus, me and Jesus. He gave me the Holy Spirit. He gave me the Holy Ghost. We're going to defeat this thing. God will do it. And He wants you. He wants you to rise up to the level that He wants you to. Proverbs 1:33. But whoso hearkens unto me shall dwell safely. Yeah, I love that. And shall be quiet from fear of evil. Do not say evil will come, but the fear of evil. Do not say evil will come, but fear of evil. We should not fear evil. Is it bad? Yes. It can be horrific at times. But where do we stand? Where do we stand in God's mercy and goodness and compassions? Accept no imitation, expect no limitation. You know, write that one down. Accept no imitation, expect no limitation for God in you. I love that it says His victory, our victory is His victory. Our victory is His. Why? Because I sure can't do it myself. I can't do it by my own flesh. I have to have the ways of God. I will say, we all get into a place where it looks like the circumstances are so overwhelming. I mean, we're just going, oh my gosh, there's just no way I can get this accomplished. No way I can do this thing. But I will have to see with my heart what I can't see with my eyes. I will have to see what my heart and God has entrusted me with. I will have to see with my heart what I can't see with my eyes. How many prophets, how many warriors of God came among all thousands of people and said, God, there's like 10,000 people over there and they're coming against me. He said, go to war, go to war. He said, but I've got 1,000. I've just got 1,000. They have 10,000. What am I supposed to do? They had to know in their heart, take courage. When He sent the 12 spies into the land of Canaan, into the promised land, they said, there's giants over there. We're but ants. We're small in their sight. Joshua and Caleb says, take courage. We can defeat them. Because of their size? No. Because God was on their side. What can God do? Isaiah 26:3-4. It says, He will keep me in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on Him because he trusts in Him. Trust ye in the Lord forever, for in the Lord Jehovah is everlasting strength. Everlasting strength. Our strength comes from the Lord. Malachi 3:12. I've already read this once, but I really like this. And all nations shall call you blessed, for ye shall be a delightsome land. Are we a delightsome land? When people enter here, do they have a delightsome thing? Look at those people. They're just so delightful. They're just so full of delight. I pray that. I want that. I want people to be blessed when they enter. Why? I'm going to talk about Raven. Raven comes, and she's probably back at her hometown. But been trying to get her to come for a while now. And so she says, well, I go to a church in Odessa. And, we don't balk at that. Great. I'm glad you're going to worship. And then the first time she stepped in here, You know what she said? This was great. She said, I should have been coming here a long time ago. Yes, you should have. You should have been coming here a long time ago. But the Lord will redeem things. But isn't that a delight? That's a delight to me. I should have been coming here a long time ago. I love the worship. I love the prayer. I love the sermons. I love what you guys are doing here. I do. Do you? I do. You see, I think he comes here because he likes it here. I don't think he's here because of her. And he's, I need to make that distinction. I mean, she's all great and fine and beautiful and all of that. But I think he comes because he likes this, the church. Shake your head, yes. Thank you. Know that God is doing something, that we walk in the blessings of God. Something real quick. What blocks the blessings of God? Well, number one thing that blocks the blessings of God is sin. If we have sin in our life, if we're fostering that sin, if we're cuddling that sin, if we're petting that sin, that'll block your blessings. And you need to get rid of it. You need to repent and ask for forgiveness. I believe you need to repent and ask for forgiveness every day. Every day. Bad relationships. Bad relationships will block your blessings from God. Here's one. A bad marriage. A bad marriage will block. You won't get your answers to your prayers if you're at odds with your spouse. 1 Peter 3:7. Likewise, husbands, dwell with them according to the knowledge, giving honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel, and as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers may not be hindered. He's saying, if you guys got contention and odds against one another, God's having a hard time listening to your prayer, listening to what he wants done in your life, because you're at odds with your spouse. Sometimes we bring curses upon ourselves. It's when we start believing lies. We start believing things that Satan has put in your wake. I'm just a terrible person, and you know, my parents told me I was a terrible person, and my teachers told me I was a terrible person, and so therefore, golly, I must be a terrible person. And God says, you don't know how much I love you, how much I died for you, how much I want to bless you, and you're believing a lie. You're believing a lie. Get this. Take the lies out of your life that you're believing. Well, how do I do that, Arthur? How do I recognize the lies that have been told me? It's called the Holy Spirit. It's called being called to be in His kingdom and allowing the Holy Spirit to transform by the renewing of your mind. And so you come into the whole package, the whole thing that God wants you to be. Stop believing lies. When I counsel with people, you wouldn't believe how many times they want to make excuses for living a lie. I was talking to someone even this past week, and I said, do you know what I do? I just allow you to talk. Go ahead and talk. And then when something comes up, I'm going, we need to address that thing. And they just came right out and said, I'm a man pleaser. A man pleaser? Yeah, I'm a people pleasing person. I said, why? Let me talk to you about that people pleasing thing. And they said, why is that wrong? It just means I'm a servant. No, it doesn't. It means you're serving the wrong thing. Because if you're a people pleaser, you're not a God pleaser. You would rather please people than please the God who is Lord of your life. So I've never thought of it that way. What do you do now? Well, I guess I'm going to stop being a people pleaser. No, what do you do right now? I don't know. Yeah, you do. You know what to do. I need to repent. Bingo. You need to repent. You need to ask God for forgiveness and let God restore you. They prayed. Usually I pray, then they pray. This time I said, you're going to pray. I know you know how. You're going to pray. When they prayed, asked for forgiveness, repented, they said, something came off me. I don't know what it was, but something just came off of me. I was jumping up and down inside. I was going, yes, God did it. God moved. And I didn't have to lay one hand on them. God did it. Just him and them. Him and them. I think you can do the same thing. In fact, I know. God has some adventure for you. He has some great adventure. Here's the invitation. Here's the invitation for you right now. I want you to ask God, God, what lies am I believing? It is blocking my blessing from you. And then once you ask that, God's going to reveal some stuff to you. And that's okay. Repent. Say, God, I'm sorry that I believed that lie. I'm not going to believe it anymore. And then I want you to walk in the blessing of God. And if there, it's going to come up again. Satan's not going to leave you alone. Then just say, God, from now on, I will believe the truth, and that truth is going to spur me on to who I need to be. So I'm going to give you that opportunity right now. Father, start thinking right now. Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray that you would show us the lies that Satan has poured upon us, that, Father, you are ready to dispel in a moment's notice. So, Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray that you would reveal unto us through your holy, comforting Spirit. And, Father, we repent. We say, I'm sorry. I'm just sorry, God, that, Father, I have been lackluster. I have been lacking in any area because of this lie that I've believed. But, Father, today I desire to be full on your servant, your son, your daughter, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Arthur. Very good stuff this morning. Right there at the very end, and it occurred to me, you know, this common phrase we hear in our society these days is, well, she just needs to share her truth or walk in her truth or his truth. When you qualify the word truth, there's something wrong with that. There is the truth, and all the rest is a lie. Man, I'll tell you, our society tries to train us and lead us that way to believe that there's a choice in the truth. Not a choice for the truth, but in the truth. Like choosing what will be true for you. What a lie of the devil. Wow. So, I know, I'm very narrow-minded. Something about the Word of God that requires that. But anyway, to mix up the word truth in the middle of a lie, it's just amazing. It's so clever. Satan is a very clever being. And we're not supposed to be ignorant of those things. So keep those things in mind. You know, when you discover something, some scheme of the devil, call it out, point it out to yourself, to your family, to your friends. There's a reason that you have seen it. And it's not just for you. So walk in the truth. And y'all keep Sharon and Arthur in your prayers the next couple of weeks. They're going to be making many, many miles up to the Midwest and back. And just pray for their safety and their blessed time together with family. And anything else? And it really was good to see you walk in and to see y'all walk in. See, everybody here is so good to assemble with you every time we assemble. Anything before we go? Y'all have a blessed week.